I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a newsmaker interview with U.S. Senator Roland Burris, Democrat of Illinois. You might remember that his term to fill the seat vacated by Barack Obama's election to the presidency began amid the charge that former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich tried to sell the seat. We'll hear Senator Burris's observations on his short stint in Washington and what he hopes to do next. But first, we want to talk about the two package bombs that were intercepted by authorities in Dubai and in Britain last week. Authorities now believe that there's a link between that bomb plot and the attempt to blow up a plane over Detroit on Christmas Day. We also wanted to know what this means about the direction terrorists might be taking now, so we've called Clark Kent Irvin. He is the director of the Aspen Institute's Homeland Security Program. He was also the first inspector general of the Department of Homeland Security. He's with us from his office. How are you?
I'm very well, Michelle. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. What conclusions do you draw from what we know about this alleged plot right now? For example, these two package bombs were sent to two synagogues, for example. Do you draw any conclusions from this?
Well, it's still unclear at this point whether the packages were actually intended to arrive at those synagogues in Chicago. If, in fact, that was the case, it's understandable and predictable given the anti-Semitism of al-Qaeda. It could be, though, that the intention was to blow up either passenger planes, and we know that at least one of the packages briefly was on two passenger planes, or cargo planes, and that would make some sense as well, since I have long called, as you know, air cargo the soft underbelly of our aviation security system, since so little scrutiny has been given historically to air cargo.
And I was going to ask you about that, because you have said repeatedly that the era of the 9/11 attack, as we all remember it, is now over. But perhaps not. It seems that perhaps that the organization, if indeed it is the same group, is moving in two directions at once. Because,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't actually said that the era is over. I have said that al-Qaeda is a continuing, if anything, intensifying threat. As you say at the end, I think that we really now have the worst of all possible worlds. We still have what I've called al-Qaeda Central, bin Laden and Zawahiri somewhere in Afghanistan, Pakistan, most likely Pakistan, planning and plotting attacks against the United States. And now, as this plot underscores, and as the Christmas Day bombing plot likewise underscored, we have this franchise, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, based in Yemen, apparently headed by this Anwar al-Awlaki, a Yemeni, ancestral Yemeni, who's actually American-born and lived in the United States for many years, who is the most operationally active al-Qaeda affiliate. And then we have this rising phenomenon, apparently, of homegrown terrorists, American-born and American-based terrorists. So, as I say, it really is the worst of all possible worlds. And the really unfortunate thing is that terrorists continue to probe for weaknesses, and unfortunately, they continue to find them.
And you consider, well, what are some of the other weaknesses that you are most concerned about?
Well, I'm concerned really next about two things. One, you know, we've seen a number of scares around the world, Mumbai, London, Madrid, elsewhere, with regard to mass transit security. And that's attractive to terrorists because mass transit is mass. Lots of people take mass transit. And if you time a bomb at the right time in the right place, you can kill hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people, many more than on 9/11. Just this past week in Washington, there was a scare with regard to D.C. transit. And so eventually there's going to be a successful terror attack here on mass transit in the United States unless we take steps now to do what we always do in the aftermath of a scare, namely, you know, increased police presence, more bomb-sniffing dogs and bomb-sniffing technology. We need to deploy these things on an ongoing basis as opposed to an episodic one after the fact. The next thing, and really the thing I worry most about, because the consequences would be catastrophic if they were to happen, is a nuclear weapon in a cargo container, not an air cargo container, but in a maritime cargo container. The Department of Homeland Security has conceded that we really don't yet have technology that can effectively, and certainly not efficiently and economically, detect the presence of radiation in maritime cargo. And now terrorists know that, as well as I and other counterterrorism experts. And it's just a matter of time, it seems to me, before they exploit that vulnerability.
What's going right? Would the fact that these two packages were intercepted, with the fact that this nascent plot in the Washington metropolitan area addressing the transit system was interrupted as early as it was, are those positive signs?
Well, certainly they're positive, and kudos to those in our law enforcement and intelligence community who are responsible for that. But, you know, the negative side of the ledger is that it really points up more luck than initiative.
Why do you say that?
Well, because, for example, had Saudi Arabia not had the intelligence indicating that there were these two suspicious packages that likely contained explosives, and had they not given us the actual routing numbers of those packages, FedEx and UPS packages, they wouldn't have been detected. And we would have had a catastrophe on our hands either in the air or in those two Chicago synagogues. So it wasn't anything we did. It wasn't our intelligence. It wasn't our technology. It wasn't our screening protocols. It was the Saudis. Now, we acted quickly on the intelligence once they provided it to us. Thank goodness that we did that. And I said, again, kudos for that. But we didn't anticipate it ourselves. And our technology would not have stopped it had we not anticipated it or had the Saudis not anticipated it.
So Clark, we're entering into our, we have about a minute and a half left with our conversation. And we are now entering into what is traditionally a very heavy travel period. The holiday season is approaching. Many Americans are going to be on the road visiting family. They're also going to be sending a lot of packages. This is the time of the year when people tend to do that. Are there recommendations that you have for just those of us who are listening and trying to think about how we can be constructive here, protect ourselves, and help ourselves?
Right. Well, first I begin by agreeing with your premise, and that is that as we enter the holiday period, a holiday period not just for Christians but also for Jews, that there likely will be an intensified threat. Just a week ago or so, of course, there was a very, very heightened alert in Europe with regard to terror attacks. So that's likely to intensify between now and December. As to what we can do about it, frankly, there is relatively little that the average citizen can do other than to be alert. The See Something, Say Something campaign that Secretary DiPaolo rightly touts is really what the average American can do. We average Americans, and I'm an average American now since I'm outside government, can be the eyes and ears of law enforcement. You know, there are only several thousand law enforcement personnel in the United States, and they can't be everywhere, and they can't see everything. We can multiply that by pointing out suspicious things and suspicious acting people to law enforcement authorities. That's the first thing I'd say. The second thing is we have to keep this in perspective. We mustn't terrorize ourselves. Otherwise, we'll do terrorist work for them.
Okay. Clark Kent, to be continued, Clark Kent Irvin is the director of the Aspen Institute's Homeland Security Program. He joined us from his office in Washington. Thank you so much for speaking to us once again.
My pleasure.